As we continue our dialogue and discourse, and of course, I can truly say we're coming into the home stretch of the many, many months that we have been dealing with this doctrinal essence of the Spirit of Truth. And certainly it is a blessing to be privy to the workings of God as to what is going on in our lives. Amen. Because, see, the more you know, the more you are able to depend upon Him and to trust Him. You see, basically, the things that we don't know tend to frighten us. And what people don't understand, they tend to reject. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, an understanding is crucial. Mm-hmm. It's crucial. It's crucial to walking with God and serving Him. Mm-hmm. In the 8th chapter of Romans, our theme verses 16, 17. Well, this morning, Elder Liverman is our designated reading, although I want you to back up to verse 14, and then we shall move to the fourth chapter, that is, of 2 Corinthians, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. If you can recall, we had basically gone through those verses. We did not complete it, our discourse in them. And in conjunction, the first chapter of Philippians, verse 1, verse 20. 27, I think, through 29, thereabouts, in there, all dealing with the conveyances of the Spirit of Truth as certain information is conveyed to our spirits by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God knows what's in the mind of God. And that's why, you know, natural man cannot understand the things that are written and the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. And so it is required that the Spirit of God convey these things to our spirits. And He, that is the Holy Spirit, is commissioned to convey it to the heart of God's elect. So all men don't understand and cannot understand these writings. And if you understand them this morning, you are blessed. Amen. Oh, how much we are blessed. We are more than blessed this morning. Hallelujah. Regardless of what may be going on in your life this morning, you are absolutely favored and blessed. I want you to turn with me to the 8th, that's what we said, chapter 8 of Romans, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. And of course, we'll cap it off with verse 18 as we have utilized this, the context, for our base. And the base, our base that we have, is basically conveying to us information that once we understand it, it will stabilize us. Mm-hmm. God's people need to be stabilized.
Oh, yeah, really.
God's people can be stabilized.
Yes.
God's people have the privilege to be stabilized.
Yes.
In an unstable environment.
Yes, right.
Everything else is Amen. Shaky around us. Amen. But as we abide in these truths, we proportionally we're able to stand, and our spirits are basically quieted, and our minds are fixed based upon the essence of what God has done for us. Good corroborator in the Old Testament, it reads that he shall keep those us in perfect peace whose mind is fixed upon him. Amen. And so our focus has to be on God's will and God's purpose and God's plan. Alright, everybody got the Romans chapter 8, verse 14? Got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Alright, read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
For as many, and see, of course, here we have the coordinating conjunction here. Amen. That speaks to the end, that there's some information above which we don't have time to deal with this morning. But basically, it says in the earlier antecedent context, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, if that same Spirit, it is that which quickens or brings you into the essence of eternal living. Amen. That the Spirit of God dwells within you, and as a result of this, your mortal body, though it is condemned to its end, the body itself, you are alive. Amen. And so we are not debtors to the flesh, and we should not live by the flesh, and we should not think by the flesh of fleshly things, of worldly things. These things should not dominate us, even though we live in the world. Amen. We're constantly reminded we're not of the world. God has great and great and great and grand plans for us. So he carries this over into the 14th verse and said, now if you live by that, and if you are, amen, are led by this Spirit, what?
They are the sons of God.
Amen. And so this is telling us that all men do not have the Spirit of God that conveys the truth to them and conveys the understanding to them that are ours. We are privileged. We are privileged this morning to information that the world does not have. All right? Verse 15.
For ye have not received the Spirit of
bondage. See the continuous Asian of it for, amen, again, coordinating conjunction, read it, for you what?
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Mm-hmm. You have not received this to the point that you are to fear. But what have you received?
But ye have received the spirit of adoption.
Eothesion. The Greek word there, which means son position. Amen. We're sons of God this morning. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And to some that just go right by. Amen. Hallelujah. That should smack you in the face and wake you up. Even as you sleep this morning. We're sons of God. Wow. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Read.
Whereby we cry, Abba Father.
Daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Read.
Verse 16. The Spirit itself.
Okay. Himself. Which would, of course, that's where it's written there. We dealt with that. Keep reading.
Bear witness with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That we are the children of God.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. Now what does that entail? Read.
And if children,
and if we are children,
then heirs,
we're heirs,
heirs of God,
heirs of God,
and joint heirs with Christ,
and joint heirs, and of course you have the genitive of possession there, so that should read that we are joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Oh.
Amen. Oh my God, read.
If so be that we suffer with him.
Now, if so be that we have suffered with, amen, and of course, as we have gone through this, the essence of suffering with, amen, is that to which brings forth what now?
That we may be also glorified together.
Okay, when you look close at that, he is not saying that our suffering brings about this glory. And he is talking about the suffering that brings about this glory. And the suffering that brings about this glory is the suffering of Christ. Amen. We participate through the essence of identification with him. Every man that has been baptized into Christ has been put on, has put on Christ. We're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about the essence of spiritually being placed into the essence of the body of Christ. Alright, keep reading.
Verse 18, for I reckon.
So now we took all this information together, and he uses a word there, amen, that could be translated calculate. Amen. Many times when he used the word reckon, we come forth with the idea that maybe we are guessing. Amen. Paul wasn't guessing. He was calculating. Woo, hallelujah. He was taking all of these facts and putting them together and saying, now this is what this, amen, translates into. Because remember, as you understand your salvation and the workings of salvation, it translates down into everything touching life. And so, as he has gathered this information together, he calculates what?
For I reckon that the sufferings.
The sufferings.
Of this present time.
Here he has the Greek adverb mean translated now. So now, here we see that this suffering, amen, basically is talking about what you and I are going through, the problems and the situations. Now, that's not the suffering, amen, in the previous verse that has led to our glory. Amen. For that would put us on a work program. But here he speaks of the suffering of the now time. Amen. What does he say concerning it?
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen. Now, in the previous verse, he says, there is a glory, amen, that is the result of suffering that we are identified with them. And our suffering cannot compare to that suffering. That's, oh my God, hallelujah. That's what he's saying there. Amen. But he is not making light of our suffering. Let's move now to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians right quick. Amen. And we'll deal with some aspects of what the apostle does have to say about our suffering. And you know, that this is what the golden nugget to life is all about. You see, if you understand what's going on, it helps you to be able to go through it.
Yes.
Amen. God has given us this information through the Spirit. All right, everybody got it? Verse 9. But let's start. We always have to kind of go back. Amen. Verse 9 is really not a good place to start there, because there's some information that has to be brought down. Amen. Let's start at verse 6. And of course, we've been away from this for a few weeks, so we have to go back and do a little review. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness,
mm-hmm.
has shined in our hearts
mm-hmm.
to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
So here he's talking about this same knowledge and information, amen, that is reserved for those whom God has loved from the beginning, in eternity.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, God does discriminate.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He loves some and he does not love others. And of course, I know this, and now that is a hard thing to say. Amen. Someone challenged me on this, and I said, well, if you say God loves everyone, is it conceivable that God will love someone and not save them? Amen.
Glory.
And of course, that is something for us to ponder.
Uh-huh.
Amen. For those who God had loved from eternity, he has made provisions for them. Amen. Verse 7, read.
Verse 7, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
No, he is not talking about the Holy Ghost. And this is what many teach when they exegete this verse, or they read this verse, they have read some commentary that tells you that this treasure here, amen, speaks to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. No, when you trace it using the grammatical principles as well as proper contextual surveillance, you will see that he is talking about the knowledge. Here, Pastor Paul is making reference to the volume of truth, the mystery, that gospel, amen, that God has given unto us, which are the instructions to the church. This is great treasure that we have. And the reason that he has done it is why?
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
That the excellency, oh my God, hallelujah, we went through this. Oh, hallelujah. Is of God.
Yes.
And not in us. Now we have all of this information, and it is useful.
Oh.
Because we live in a world,
yes.
Amen, that as we have conveyed to you previously, it has a depraved environment, and God made it this way that it would be concordant with the depraved creatures.
Uh-huh.
Amen. If we are depraved, sinful creatures,
yeah.
The only environment that fits us is depraved and sinful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, this is where we are now. Amen. Now, all right, verse 8, read.
We are troubled on every side,
uh-huh.
yet not distressed.
Mm-hmm.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Mm-hmm.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
Cast down, but not destroyed.
Oh my God.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Now, you know, here, what this is saying is that God has a plan. Things are not just happening.
No.
Lord, what's happening? Amen. And then I pray about it, and then seemingly, instead of things getting better, they get worse.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
And this has led to all type of speculation from those who do not understand that God is fully in control.
Yeah.
God is sovereign.
Yeah.
God has not lost, amen, control of anything. Mm-hmm. There are those who even teach that God has left the earth in our control,
mm-hmm.
in our domain, and all we have to do is just speak the word.
Oh.
And God will not intrude into our domain, our territory. Amen. He's basically neutral and has left it to you, and you have the power through the word to just speak things. And when we don't speak things, the devil is not as time is God, he will intrude. Amen. So he comes into the domain, this domain, and of course I don't see how they teach that, because, amen, our gospel tells us that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is the ruler and the God, G-O-D, of this world. Amen. Basically, we, with the understanding of one very important fact, and that is God is sovereign.
Yes.
He controls all things at all times. A fly doesn't wiggle its left wing unless God honors it and causes it to happen. A leaf doesn't fall from a tree in the forest, amen, except God has honored it, even though no man may not know anything about it. Amen. Nothing happens, nothing moves, nothing breathes without him. He is the cause, uncaused, and everything, amen, marches to the heart of his will.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So some teach, God didn't do this. God didn't have anything to do with 911. God, amen. God is somewhere handcuffed. I cannot interfere. I've left this thing up to man. And if man does what he's supposed to do, it won't happen. But if man does not do what he's supposed to do, it will happen. Amen. Completely in the dark and without understanding of the eternal decrees of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
An eternal plan that takes into account and is the essence of the workings of all things that is transpiring and everything that is going on. I hope that from our conference that those of you who were here, and hopefully those that were not here, I'm sure that we still have some packets around here somewhere that you would take it with you. We had information on foreordination, predestination, so that we don't walk around here thinking that we are held hostage to chance and time and its determinants, that these are just occurrences that are just happening. Amen. Why do things happen? Amen. Is there such thing as an accident in God? Are there any surprises in God? Can anything transpire, come up, amen, that God did not know about? And we put God on the same plane as we are.
Amen.
Now, again, to just divert for a second, foreordination and predestination are terms that are sometimes used interchangeably. But the Greek word prorisos, ariso, is the base, and it's formed here, prorisos, as it is conveyed in the fifth verse of Ephesians chapter 1. Don't turn to it. But basically it means to set the boundaries, set the limits, set the restrictions. And so what that translates down into for its etymological meaning is to convey the term of to limit and restrict, and to mark out beforehand, in prior time. God is the designer. He is, somebody said, oh my God, what I'm going through, I would hate to think that God designed that. Oh my God, but see, we're looking at things strictly from the viewpoint and the vantage point of time. Amen. We are locked into, what's today's date? November the 23rd, is it? 2003. And this is as far as some of us can see.
Yes.
Amen. And what I am dealing with, and the confrontations of my life,
yes,
and the things, amen, that weigh heavy and burden me,
yes,
this is the total happiness,
yes,
in the God. But you see, God is eternal.
Yes.
Amen. And time is just a whisper of eternity. And everything that is going down, amen,
amen,
is part of an all-encompassing,
yes,
comprehensive plan, amen, that God has, that in the end, for those of us that He has loved, and those of us that He has chosen, amen, as sons, and placed in positions as members of the body of Christ, whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're going through, amen, it is an incident or an occurrence in the essence of time as God moving you to a place and part of eternal joy and blissfulness in Him. Now, this cuts against the grain.
It does.
Follow me now. On most of our modern day doctrinal ministry,
yes,
and teaching.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I make an appeal to all who are part of this ministry,
mm-hmm,
to be brave,
yes,
and to be bold. I don't mean to be arrogant. Be confident.
Right.
Amen. That this is the way that God works, and through the Word of God, He has worked all things, it all is traced back to eternity.
Yes.
And God is omniscient. That,
yes,
means He is all-knowing.
Knowing.
Thus, there's nothing in this world, amen, that happens by chance.
Come on,
I think I'll repeat that. Nothing in this world happens by chance. God is ultimately and forever in control of everything, and He causes everything, and He decides what is going to happen.
Yes.
Do not put God in the same category as you and I. He's not somewhere sitting on the sidelines, as some teach, wondering and in trepidation as to what's going to happen. You know, like sometimes when we get into our diverse problems and troubles, we are there, we all, amen, we're all basically in knots and balls wondering what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't put God in that category.
Oh.
Amen. He not only knows what happened,
yeah,
He is the cause of what happened,
oh,
and nothing is going to happen, amen, unless He allows it, and if He allows it, it's because He has ordered it, and if He's ordered it, it's because it is His ways of bringing you to the place and place that He would have it to be.
Yeah. Glory. Hallelujah.
So God has foreordained not some things.
Come on here.
He has foreordained all things.
Yeah.
Everything after the counsel of His own will.
Yes.
So all of this that we're reading here, being troubled, perplexed, and persecuted, amen, it is all part of God's plan and design for your life.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There are no interruptions in God.
Yes.
Amen. And all that He does,
yes,
it is according to what He has worked out through His wisdom.
Yes.
And it is good.
Good.
And also, it is what pleases Him.
Yes.
Someone will say, how could it please God for me to go through something and to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how could it please God that He could save you,
mm-hmm,
through the essence of Jesus Christ's suffering.
Uh-huh. Glory. Amen.
It is. Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
God's plan.
Yes, yes.
God's will.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have some eternal facts, amen, which entail God's perfect judgment. Amen. And so, as we look at these, we are able from the eternal vantage point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not from the vantage point of time. You get a distorted picture from the vantage point of time. First of all, you can't see as much. Amen. From time, the best you can look for is a view from a plane of basically looking at something head on. And of course, that's not the view that most of us take, because we get so down that we fall down, and then we have the worst vantage point because we're looking up at the problem. We're looking up at the situation. Amen. Because it has knocked us down. Amen. But the best view is a panoramic view, an eternal view. And from the eternal view, you're not looking at the problem of November 22nd, 2003. Amen. From the eternal view, you look and you see it as God sees it. You're looking from eternity to, from eternity to eternity, past the problem, past the situation, past life, and on into our glorified existence with the God of our salvation, who has worked all.
Hallelujah.
He's worked it all out. He's worked it all out. Amen. But it is through the scriptures that we are convinced of these truths. Amen. So here are some questions that we must face. And we must accept. From the scriptures, we have the evidence that God has from all eternity foreordained all things which are to come to pass. And so, from this, we draw the conclusion that all acts and all events, amen, that are transpiring are the manifestation of the Creator's design. Now, has God given us a provisionary tool to deal with it?
Yes.
To deal with what we encounter.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Here it must be emphatically stated that the evidence of foreordination of all acts and events in eternity is all incorporated in one word. That's the word faith. What is faith? Faith is total, unconditional commitment to God. In God. In everything he says, in everything he does. Why do you think the Apostle Paul could be sitting in prison? And he writes, for me to live is Christ. And if I die, it's gain. Amen. For having been given the revelation of the mystery, which we would call an advanced course in godliness. That is, we have information that is available to us in our gospel that those of his elect in the other dispensation had no information concerning. We know things that they never knew, that Moses never knew. Elijah never knew it. None of the prophets. They did not know the information that we have this morning. So the question is, if God has deposited in our spirit this knowledge, this understanding, then what are we to comprehend concerning the essence of time and our sojourn through it? Just for a minute, I'm going to read some of the information that we had document.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Which hopefully very soon will be on the website.
All right.
And it reads, what many fail to comprehend is that time itself and everything associated with it are but components of creation.
Thank you, Jesus.
That God has designed. Thus, God's design of time, for time is also a creation. It engenders every occurrence of all the forces and events associated with time, including the scheduling of the enactments that transpire.
Come on.
Hence, all limits, bounds, and means of every part of creation are pre-structured accordingly to accommodate God's will and purpose.
Yes.
And so when you're in trouble, you say this is all part of God's plan.
Yes, Lord.
In sickness, it's all part of God's plan.
Glory.
In pain. It's all part of God's plan. Now some would say, God will not inflict pain or be the cause of pain being inflicted upon me if he loved me. Well, if you use that analogy, did he love Jesus?
Yes.
What does the Bible say?
Come on.
He poured his wrath upon him, amen, to bring about the essence of his plan and his will, and that was the deliverance of his elect from the curse and the penalty of sin. As we had earlier, amen, there is a provision for you and I to identify with this, with suffering and pain.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Now the ministry won't preach this because they fear that this is not what you want to hear. They're going to preach deliverance. But I said to you this morning, deliverance is according to God's will. If it is His will for you to be delivered, then you will be delivered. But if it is not His will for you to be delivered, not from that. Paul said, I prayed three times.
And
then at some point, the Lord said, Paul, don't bother me about this anymore. See, we said God doesn't answer prayer. Yes, He does. We are listening. You keep asking Him for something year in, year out, and it's not happening. You keep asking, you say, He answered my prayer. No, you mean He didn't just say you wanted it. Because many times God said no. And you know why He said no? Because that's not His will. That's not His desire. Some people get in the same line for the same ailment every Sunday. Some churches, they minister, they know how to keep you coming. They say, if you don't get your healing this week, come back next week.
Right.
They keep you coming.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Don't you know that God has an elaborate, laid out, eternal existence for you?
Come on. Yes.
That when we in our glorified state and we look back at what we've gone through. What did we read already? It's not worthy to even be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
I got news for you. Pain and sorrow, suffering, it goes with the territory of this life and this world. And as long as you're between the womb and the tomb, you are entrapped in the essence of pain and suffering and heartache and disappointment and things going just the opposite of what you desire them in the instance. Sometimes things do go the way you want them to. But not always. And don't let anyone, and you see, what ministries, give it 10 minutes. What ministries have done is what they teach you is that you can get it. You can get that. You can have things exactly like you want it. All you have to know is what levels to pull. In other words, what they teach us is, what they're teaching is not 10 ways basically to get everything you want, but they're saying 10 ways to get God to do whatever you want Him to do. In other words, 10 ways to manipulate God. As though God doesn't have any intelligence.
No.
Tell Him how great He is. No, you tell Him how great He is because He is great.
Yeah.
Not because you're trying to.
Come on.
Growing up, my kids, they were always like Lisa to try to come get some out of me. And after, you know, I'm slow, Pastor. I'm slow sometimes. You know, y'all to figure that out. I'm not the fastest. Sometimes I get things on the fourth or fifth rebound, but I finally get them. And she walks up to me and says, "Hi, Daddy. Oh, you're such a great daddy." I said, "All right, what do you want?" How can a fight non-nothing creature manipulate God? Oh my God, hallelujah. You must understand it's not designed for you to help God to make up His mind what He's going to do. Because God doesn't make daily decisions.
No.
In designing time, it also became necessary for Him to design all the events that are part of time.
Yes.
And there are those that said God looks down on the time, and then He sees what you're going to do, and He deals with you accordingly. And I had one minister this week. I was really disappointed because I listened to him for years. He said that if God discriminately saves, I won't serve Him. And I won't preach anymore if I believe that God discriminately saved, because God is not a respecter of purpose. A person, using that term in Peter. And if you ever go back and you exegete and put that into context, it proves that God basically is choosy and picky as to who and what and when and where and how. To the point that He did it before there would be anybody around to even question Him or converse with Him about it. God has done it. It's done. You see, time is but you could take a pebble, and it's the analogy I think was it Elder Rumke, and throw it into the Atlantic Ocean. And when it strikes the water, it would make, you know, those little waves. But it would only go out so far, and then it dissipate. And any sign of that pebble hitting the water is gone. That's what type of impact that time has on eternity. It's but a pebble thrown into the Atlantic Ocean. This is why he said, day with the Lord is a thousand years, Lord, is a day. It doesn't matter because God is not locked into any day.
Come on.
And if we come to understand this, then as we look at the things of time, we'll see them for what they are. I'm going to read. Oh my God! Let me ask this question. No. I'm just. This is a rhetorical question. Don't nobody hold up your hand or anything. I wonder how many of you have actually taken information from the conference. You've actually sat down and read it. Hey, if you got to study it, study it. Because this is what life, this is information concerning life. Concerning on any given day, just about anything can happen. And it doesn't just happen. God has designed in our lives the occurrences of the things that happen.
Every occurrence. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you understand this, if you have confidence in God, then whatever is happening, if you have the confidence in the essence of who He is and that He loves you,
yes,
then you will rest in the fact of those things.
Amen. Lord, preach it.
Very, 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 very important. That we stand God's actual cause of all things, and that nothing can alter, interrupt, or delay in any manner anything that God has decreed in eternity. On the second page of a document called Predestination of Prior to Daily Living, it reads, as one view the enlightenment, that is that God is in control, He is the cause of all things. Proven questions arrive. Doesn't God make daily decisions, thus accounting for adjustments to life functions? This is important because when we start to talking about prayer, we must understand the mechanics and workings of prayer. Prayer is not designed for you to persuade God to do something.
No.
Because that would mean that there is a decision that has to be made. So the scripture answer is no. And why? Because it is not necessary for Him to do so. God, if He had not foreordained the entire course of all events, but He waited until some undetermined condition was or was not fulfilled, then His decrees could neither be eternal nor immutable or unchangeable.
That's right.
The Word of God, however, informs us that He is incapable of mistake. And He cannot be surprised by unforeseen inconveniences.
Nothing.
There are many things that inconvenience us, but nothing inconveniences God.
Nothing.
God is sovereign. What does that mean? It denotes that He rules over everyone and everything. Thus His plan must of necessity include every function and every event in the entire scope of His existence. His omniscience dictates that even the small, inconsequential events, the little things, all in God's plan. I didn't have a nosebleed, but I had a nosebleed. That seemed so minute and inconsequential. That fit in God's plan. He said, well, how? You see, things that don't make sense to us doesn't mean that they don't make sense. It just means it doesn't make sense to us. God is a being of rationale. God has a reason for everything that happens. In this passage we're dealing with this morning, all of these things that happened to Paul. Did you finish reading that, Elder?
Praise God.
Just down to verse 11, and I'm going to end there today.
Praise God.
For we which live are always delivered to death.
For what reason?
For Jesus' sake.
God's got a purpose. We are identified with His suffering. Keep reading.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you.
Now, here we must understand that God takes every function which is a part of an all-encompassing plan of what He is doing. And we understand this, and I end on this, as we write, some can reflect on instances that they classify as chance happenings, which in effect actually change the course of their lives. As we review such happenings, is it correct to state that such events fall into the category of fortuitous occurrences, a chance occurrences? If such are relegated to the confine of assumed, dig this now, as I use the slang, dig this, of impersonal, purposeless determinants of unaccountable happenings.
My God.
If you put the situations of your life into the category of impersonal, purposeless determinants, that these are things out there that just happened. I turned left instead of the right, and I had to turn left, it wouldn't happen. Unaccountable happenings. Why did it happen? I don't know, it just happened.
Bring it out.
If this was the way that God had arranged the world, then the effects of these would extend throughout all succeeding events in ever widening influences causing other chance happenings.
Yes. Yes.
So if that happens, what's to keep does anything else from happening? In this respect, there could be no definite plan intermingled with such chaotic disorder of disruptions or interruptions. But there's rhyme and reason to everything that's going down. God is working it out. It's part of a plan. So when you're suffering, you're not suffering for nothing. It is all part of God's plan. And you know what? You know what? We're going to progress when we take our focus and our priority and our emphasis off of time. You see, during the essence of time, you're born into the world, you grow up, you are go to school, get education hopefully, or some trade, get a job, and then get married. Hopefully you do it in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And you raise your children, and the cycle begins again.
Yes, it does.
And you look up one day, and all those little children, they're grown.
That's right.
And they've got children. Now you're a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live a little longer, mm-hmm. now you're a great grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
And the things of life that transpire, they just come and they just go.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? Guess what happened? One day what?
Damn.
Huh? You punch your time clock.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a fool with a
drone
bonus.
Amen.
You punch out.
Mm-hmm.
You punch. Nobody was brought here to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
You punch out.
Mm-hmm.
You out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if all life was about what went on during that time,
mm-hmm.
what was the reason of it?
Mm-hmm.
You see? No. For those of us who are the lake of God,
mm-hmm.
all through this time, God is working out some purpose.
Yes.
Because the emphasis was never on time.
Uh-oh.
It was always on eternity.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Not on time, on eternity.
Yes. Yes.
And if we ever learn,
yes.
if we ever learn,
yes.
to focus our eyes, then we could be like the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that he saw and all the things. At the end he says, now at the end when God made it known to him that it was punch out time,
yeah.
it was check out time,
yeah.
Paul said, I've fought the good fight. He said, I've lived my life. He said, I run my course.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm ready to be offered. So he says, as I go to face Nero's chopping block, I have no trepidations, nor do I have any regrets. In fact, amen, on one occasion, he said, not only am I willing, amen, to suffer for him, he said, I'm willing to die for him.
Oh.
And it was all because, amen, according to the writings of Paul, on one occasion, he was taken outside of Lystra and he was stoned.
Oh.
And he was left for dead. And God caught him up into the third heavens. And he came back later and he said, I knew a man more than 14 years ago. When I was in the flesh, out of the flesh.
Yes.
I have no recollection. What are you talking about, Pastor? He said, if I was in the flesh, I did know it. If I was out of it, I didn't miss it. But I was caught up into the third heavens and I saw things unalterable. What do you mean, Paul? I can't even tell you what I saw because human language can't express it. Amen. But in another way, he says, amen, that eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of, oh my God, of men, those things that God has prepared, no not for all men, but for us. Can you say us? That God has revealed unto us. Amen. He has revealed the essence of our eternal bliss of living in the essence of Christ throughout all eternity. Amen. Can you praise Him this morning? Can you praise Him this morning? Can you praise in the midst of your problems? Can you praise Him in the midst of your troubles? Can you praise Him in the midst of whatever you are being? Can you praise Him? Can you